The Closet of Lessons. The year was 2007. I was a 21-year-old student at the College of Charleston in South Carolina when I met Ken. We met on a Memorial Day weekend getaway with my brother and some friends. When we met, it wasn't like I was blown away by him. I wasn't. The only thing Ken really had going was that he was a smooth talker, tall, and in the Army. He is 11 years my senior. Red flag? At that age, and in this instance, yes. But I was 21 years old. Was I really going to have all the answers then? A weekend of camping turned into a weekend filled with drama. Yay, my favorite. At a time that I should be happy when meeting someone, it was actually filled with strife when it was revealed that he was currently engaged. What? We had been flirting all weekend. That just didn't make any sense. At that time in my life, I believed that everyone should be given the benefit of the doubt. I wanted the benefit of the doubt, right? Shouldn't I give that to everyone else too? So naturally, I asked if this rumor was true. If so, I had zero intention of trying to date someone who was not available. He assured me this was false, and the girl who started the rumor was just a big gossip. I did believe that because, although I only knew the girl for a short time, it was clear she was, in fact, a huge gossip. That issue died down after that weekend, and many other issues later took its place. However, his habit of being a monkey, clutching both branches before letting go of one, does come in later at the end of our relationship. He certainly had a pattern of manipulation, destruction, and emotional turmoil. I had no idea I was walking straight into it. As I was driving back to Charleston after the weekend of camping, I was ruminating on many of the reasons I didn't want to date Ken. I mean, I wasn't nearly as attracted to him as I should have been. I had known attraction before, and I certainly didn't feel that way with him. Also, the drama was a huge turnoff. Huge. Whether it was true or not. The whole drive back, I essentially had this feeling that I should not be talking to him. But I didn't grow up in an environment that encouraged you to think for yourself, and I also didn't want to hurt his feelings. As I was thinking about this, he called me. I saw his name on my phone and knew I shouldn't have picked up, but I did anyway. He soon informed me that his best friend was killed in Iraq. Who would not want to talk to someone in that kind of pain? Who wouldn't want to help someone that was in that situation? As it turns out, my grandmother was right. Never ever date someone out of pity. Hear me now, friends. Just don't do it. I still wrestled with the idea of dating him, even after knowing his best friend was killed. I remember calling my brother and telling him about Ken's friend dying. I said I wasn't sure if I should talk to him or not, and the more my brother and I talked, he mentioned it is always good to be kind and help someone through a rough situation like that. This in no way was my brother's fault. He had no way of knowing I was looking for someone to give me a reason to not talk to him. That's not what one should seek in the first place. Because of this situation, I learned that no one needs to give me anything. A reason, an anecdote, nothing. I had my answer driving back to Charleston, but I ignored it. That decision almost killed me.